We're just excited we could all be together this morning. We actually have I'm really excited about today. We have a great privilege. I'm going to introduce here, we have Pastor Bruce Persons. He's actually with the Alliance. He's church planting in Frederick, Maryland. It's called the Table Church. Pastor Bruce is actually church planting among the deaf community, and he's actually also the chaplain of Bison Christian Fellowship in Gallaudet University, just here in D.C. And so he's going to be sharing with us today, and obviously you can see we've got interpreters. It'll be a little bit different, but we're really excited about that and about hearing more about what God is doing in Bruce's life and through Bruce and what is happening. We actually have several other church plants as well as the Alliance in this area, because our desire is to see as many people come to know Christ as possible. And so we were really excited about the opportunity to bring Bruce in here to let us know about not just another church plant, but also a church plant to a rather unreached people group that's actually got a large population right here at our doorstep. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, good morning. I want to thank you so much, and thank you, Pastor, for leading us here this morning and inviting me here to share about the church and the church planting that I'm doing and what God is doing through our churches. Maybe you recognize today the topic, church planting. Church planting, really, the whole thing for us here is for church to be included and to help us collaborate with you to plant more. And I'm always encouraged to see what God's going to do more through church planting and alliances with other things. So just like Jonathan explained, church planting in Frederick, Maryland, and I'm the chaplain at Gallaudet University. The church is called the Table Church, the CMNA. I'm really excited to be here and share with you this morning. We're excited to share about what God is doing, but also what we're here for. And I'm here to challenge you and to encourage you that you can be part of all of this and part of what God is doing, not only here in D.C., but also all over the world. So, well, I want to introduce first. So my fiance, she couldn't join us today because we came straight from another church worship a Sunday morning at 9, so she interpreted for me there and voicing a live stream. So her name is Carrie, and she'll be my wife in a month and a half. So it's a lot of change in my life. So soon will become my other half. So I'm excited for that time and look forward to it. So please pray for me. And also, you know, as we get ready for the wedding and everything just coming together. And as husband and wife, I want to look back at the engagement. And it's stressful. It's stressful when you're trying to figure out everything and get ready. So just good positive vibes for that would be great. So I'm going to give you some statistics about the area that maybe you already know, but really we're going to focus on this area, the DMV area, the Mid-Atlantic District area. So there's Frederick, Howard, Baltimore, D.C., New Hampshire, the whole area. It's really awesome. One area that you heard of maybe is they have about 7,000 coming in and out of the D.C. every day. 7,000 of people coming in and out every day. And I believe that because of the traffic. And none of us love traffic, right? I don't think so. But the area is also one of the largest areas for deaf communities. Obviously, you know, we're focusing on deaf communities here, but the deaf community in general, you know, just to become clear, it's really an unreached group. There's not a lot of outreach to them. For those of you who like numbers, let me give you some statistics and numbers, and then we'll start with the stories. But for us who like stories, it's a good balance to have numbers and statistics. So go ahead and go to the next. One of the largest groups of people of deaf population in the U.S., the number, if we figure it out, deaf and hard of hearing, that includes culturally deaf and people that are losing their hearing, like senior citizens, about 1.2 million people that are hard of hearing and deaf in the mid-Atlantic area. And that includes D.C., Virginia, Maryland, altogether. That's about 1.2 million people. Now, that word deaf, D-E-A-F, capital D, means culturally deaf. Culturally deaf means I am exposed to sign language. I grew up with my language. I have ASL. I was exposed to it growing up. It's very unique. That's culturally deaf in that area. That means that they use ASL, American Sign Language. The sign is their main mode of communication. About 150,000 are culturally deaf. I don't know the exact number, but it's approximated. So it's about 150,000 in this area, the DMV area alone. That's a lot of deaf people. And in that area, the DMV area, probably around 10 deaf churches. And they're doing some interpreting churches, but each one of those churches has maybe 20 to 80 people, average 40 to maybe 40 each church. So we only really reaching about 100 people involved in that whole location with all those churches out of 150,000. So that's a lot smaller than you would expect. It's not a big population. So 3 of 6 deaf schools are in the mid-Atlantic area. Delaware, Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. In the DMV area, we have 3 of those 6. So altogether, there's 700 deaf of hard of hearing students in that area. So we have Gallaudet, we have Maryland School for the Deaf, we have Kendall, and all 3 of those together. And that doesn't include the university. But 700 students going in. So K through 12 in that area. So Gallaudet University, I'm going to explain that I'm the chaplain there, and I'm going to explain about the, you know, the deaf world in general and how it's the center of the deaf world at Gallaudet. So it was set up really for the gospel for the deaf people. And how can we, through higher education and studying, can we understand God's word? How can we read and spread his word more? So it's the only deaf university in the world. And people dream and are so motivated to go to Gallaudet. It's an example of hope for the future there. It's really important. It's really a role model of culture and identity for the deaf individuals. About 2,000 students are currently enrolled, hearing and deaf, but they all sign. Most sign. And I would say most are deaf. So understand that 2% of the people all over, around the world, about maybe 300 to 500 million deaf and hard of hearing people worldwide, only 2% know Jesus. That's it, 2%. That means 2% accept and know Jesus Christ. And even those who have accepted him fully, maybe even less. And of the people that have access, it's even less than that percent. If you really think about that number, that's really shocking. But why is it? Why is it that way?
Can you go back to the... There you go. So I want to share a little bit with you guys about my personal story. I was born hearing, and I was a healthy baby. And then within about a month, I developed meningitis in my spinal cord, and I became deaf. My parents were hearing. My family was hearing, and they didn't know how to communicate with a deaf child. My parents decided to reach out to Gallaudet University and ask them what to do. They referred us to the deaf school in Maryland. That's Maryland School for the Deaf. And my family started taking sign language classes there. My parents, my whole family, they were already saved. And I grew up in the church, in a Lutheran church. Maybe some of you know about the Lutheran traditions. They have formal traditions, formal clothing. They like to emphasize different roles. They have the priest. Lutheran tendencies are a bit different, sometimes similar to Catholic. Catholic has their own clothing as well. So as a kid, if I saw somebody dressed in the clothes, that meant something very specific to me. So when I saw the man dressed in the big white robe when I went to church and we're there to worship God, I assumed, okay, well, then this man is God, right? So I'm looking at him thinking, this is God. I am at church. He is here. There's this pastor in white. Wow. Okay, God's here. But that was what was in my mind. That's what I thought. I thought, okay, here's God standing right in front of me. So I was very passionate to go to church, very excited to go every week, go spend my time with God. Wow, this is so cool. He's right here in our church. Oh, I like his, the stole he has on. I was so captivated with it all. And then as I got a bit older, around 10, I decided that I wanted to talk with God. So I want to have a conversation with him, let's see how this goes. Hey, what's up in heaven? Hey, God. So I walked up to him and understand, I'm only, maybe 4 or 5 at this age. I'm walking up to him, pull on his robe, and I start signing to him. I forget what I said, but I just start signing. And then, God, he looks at me and pats me on the back. Oh, he's such a good boy. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, oh, this is so God. I'm so excited. And I started to realize something, though. I wanted to know God more. So I keep trying to continue this conversation. I'm asking him questions. And, God is just looking at me, pat me on the back. Oh, such a good boy. And I'm like, hey, hello, question here. Oh, and good boy. So I stood there and I didn't understand. He's not getting my question. So for me, in that moment, I thought that I had a language barrier with God. Now I know, okay, that was a priest. That is not God. I've learned that much. That was a long time ago. But in that time, that was very critical for me. I thought I had no communication access to God. He can't understand my heart language. He doesn't know sign language. So to me, in that moment, I'm thinking, okay, God is only for hearing people. Only hearing people have access to God because he listens to them. He can't see my language. He doesn't understand it. So I'm signing to him in my heart language, and he doesn't get it. So time went on, and I started to kind of blow off this whole God concept. My parents recognized that it started to become an issue. So they brought me to a deaf church. Now understand, at that time, they had just set up this deaf church. It was brand new in Frederick. And I was in middle school at the time. So I go there. There's signing happening. See one of my teachers there. They had worship. But everything was very different. And then there was a hearing pastor, and he could sign. So to keep the story short, this was over 6 years of my life, from middle school all the way through high school. But when I entered into high school, I sat down with the pastor every week because I was very curious about God still. So I began asking him questions, and we're signing back and forth, me and the hearing pastor. Now, we would sit there for 2 hours Friday night after school. We'd go into his office, and this pastor, he would understand. He would allow students to come in every Friday and have this time to ask him questions about faith. And for me, when I went, it was a time of growth. It was a time of challenge, of self-analyzation, and understanding my misconceptions of God, deconstructing that view, realizing that I could have access to God, and that God can understand me. So that continued, and then at 15 years old, I did become a Christian. I started to really understand, around 18, that was when I first felt the calling into ministry. And I thought, absolutely not. I do not want to become a pastor. I am not going into ministry. I want money. How many people feel the same? You want money, right? We're all here in the DMV area, and we're all here to make money. Can't lie about that one. So, that's what we want. We want success. We want to, achieve different things. So I did go to school for 4 years to be a financial advisor. I graduated, and I could not get a job, and God came at me for the second time and said, I want you to go to school, go learn how to become a pastor. And in that time, I really struggled, and I was reading from the book of Isaiah, And that was when it hit me. I want to share that verse with you all. In that day, so I'm reading this scripture, in that day, meaning it has not happened yet. It's prophetic. It's a word for the future. This will happen. It has not yet come to pass. So in that day, this was a commitment to the Jewish people who had been out of their land. They've had this disconnection from God, from their homeland. It's saying, in that day, the deaf shall hear. See that word, H-E-A-R. They will hear the words of a book. And out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. So here, looking at this, deaf who cannot hear, blind who cannot see. For those of us in the deaf community, for many that becomes their identity. That's part of who they are. So for the deaf, saying that they will hear, does that mean that they'll be able to hear again? This isn't talking about a physical hearing. This is about their heart opening up to receive the word through language access. So for them, for the deaf community, that means through sign language, they will be understand to have that word. And that's something that has not come to happen yet. There is no complete translation of the Bible into American Sign Language. There still is no Bible, no full Bible for the deaf community anywhere in the world. They have no full access. This restriction is still existent today. So reading this verse, it struck me and it motivated me to become active and to join this calling. So here I was encouraged to begin ministry, and that was a tough time as I'm studying these scriptures, feeling this push into ministry, and I'm thinking, I am one person who knows Jesus. How am I going to provide access? I need more pastors like the one I had growing up. So this started a passion inside. So here, this is what we're focused on today, church planting. So I finished school, and then I started looking for a job. I did get hired by the Mid-Atlantic District as a church planter for the deaf community here in our region. And I thought, oh, okay, I am called to church planting. Let's see how this goes. And I began learning more about the church planting process, and I found that it is God's primary plan to fulfill the Great Commission. So here at GCCC, your church, you guys understand this Great Commission. What is it? It's us being sent out to go and make disciples. We must go and make disciples. But how do we do that? By sharing the gospel, by sharing the good news about who Jesus is. And he is so worth it. He is so important. And here we're seeing that this is people's access to heaven. We can go and tell them about how to go to heaven. So how do we share that good news? How do we impact our communities? How do we impact people around the world, deaf, hearing, you know, everybody? How can we do that? So that is why I started to become involved in the Alliance, thinking we need to reach lost people. We need to develop a heart for those who do not have access to the gospel. It is God's best plan, his only plan, of fulfilling this Great Commission, spreading the gospel around the world through his people. We do that through learning about Jesus, knowing that he is going to come again. And that is my passion. That's my desire, is for people to know that. Now, why? Why church planting? Why gospel access? Why language? We want people to have access to the gospel in their own language. Many people in China, in South Korea, in all over Asia, they can understand that they want access to the Bible in their own language. The languages of China, of Taiwan. We want people to understand that language. We want people to have a Bible that they can understand and read for themselves. So that's why we're becoming active in providing access to the gospel in that language. So the first reason, that was the first reason. Now the second reason is to promote a healthy and self-producing church model. We want churches to be able to plant more churches. We want God's kingdom to be able to grow. We want more people to have access to these churches and have all different kind of churches of different cultures, different, the same beliefs, but being able to reach all different people. We want all people to know about Jesus. That's the simple point of all of this. Also, very important for the deaf people, thinking about the local church, if we provide them with churches, they have the opportunity to serve, to be involved in the local church so that it can continue to expand. We don't want just, so when we've done this, we've set it up as small groups, thinking about how those, we don't necessarily just want a big room of people looking at a pastor, but we want the church to be the local church so that people realize they can be included as well, that they are a part of this. Whether it's a big group or a small group that's gathering together, it doesn't matter. That's what's happening around the world, is that we want people to learn about God together. So I'm going to share a bit of a story about, or a few stories about our specific church. And I want you all to think about gospel access. What does that look like? Why is that important for us? So again, it's called the Table Church. You might recognize the logo. We have life groups, which are small groups of doing ministry together. It's one of our ministries. And then we have Bison Christian Fellowship at Gallaudet University. I'll show you some pictures as we go along. So here you can see we started our group April of 2016. So we have ASL classes. We, you know, maybe just four people involved at this point. But we have this picture together from when we decided to do a cookout. So these are some of the people in our church. We want people to have a place where they can come and they can learn about who God is, where they can develop community together, develop relationships with each other. So that's how the Table Church started, was, you know, back in 2016, we had ASL classes, we gathered, we ate together. Then a year later, we set up a small group in a coffee shop in Maryland. And we started to partner with Washington, D.C., some of the people there. So you can see the guy next to me with the I love you hands. So he actually just got married. I was just at his wedding over in Virginia. But that's where we had met for the first time, was in this coffee shop. And then you can see this group of young people coming together to know who God is. And again, time continued. We grew. So then we started a small group for families. Rather than just young adults, we wanted to have families. So, because church, people label church as a Sunday morning activity, but it is something, my view of church, it's when two or three or four people gather in the name of Jesus. He is there with them. So here you can see different families involved. Most of them don't have a place that they call their church. They had been searching for churches, for groups, for ways to learn about God and to enjoy fellowship together, and of course, food. So on Monday nights, we started our family life group, and we actually are still meeting now 2 years later. Here you can see two of the guys. There is Lance and James. So they have been involved in our church for quite a while now. Both of them, Lance actually, he became a Christian through our group because of coming to life group, coming through this summer. He learned more about Jesus. And then James was a Christian. He grew up in a Christian household, but he had never had the opportunity to join a local church. So we decided to go out for pizza one night downtown in Frederick. We're out there getting pizza, and now, years later, they are still involved in our church in Frederick. And actually, this morning when I left church, they were there, and they were trying to get by in a church that they had been in. There was no opportunity for growth. And then James, actually, one week when I couldn't be there, James was helping out to substitute for me.
All right, James was baptized about a year ago. Really awesome. It was a 2-year process. And he said, I decided I wanted to be baptized now, so we finally did it for him. And we partnered with a new design church in Frederick, and it used to be an old building, and that's how we decided to partner with them, and it was beautiful there, so we had that opportunity. I was really excited to be part of that. He was really motivated, and it was the first time doing a baptism for him, so it was awesome. It was a really special moment for all of us. Okay, and recently, the New Year's Eve at my house, we all had a big young adults group. We all hung out. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 people showed up. I didn't know about Jesus. None of them do. They didn't know about a local church. They had seen a lot of things through friends, and they started getting an idea. So when they came, those 4 people, the one right there that I'm pointing to, 1, 2, 3, 4, the third one on the left, that girl worked in Utah and sometimes saw online about the small groups that we're doing and prayer. And so she wanted to understand the gospel more. She was Mormon, actually. And so she was really related to that at that time. I want to share one story to encourage you. So the one person, the third and the second on the right, the third on the left, that guy's name is Sarah. I'm sorry, the girl's name is Sarah. And she's the one that comes to our small groups often. We have one deaf guy as well who's an assistant, and he helps us and helps collaborate. So they started coming with that girl and bringing her, and she said, "Wow, I really like this group." And the girl next to her had a lot of health issues, so she had to stop coming, but the other girl continued to come. And she started to grow and said, "Wow, I've never really understood Jesus or the Bible and any of the stories before. I've never heard it in my own language of ASL. I want to understand this more." And so through time, she began to understand more. And before, she'd never really been to church. And now she comes regularly. And now she's starting to take a leadership role in the music and all the opportunities that we're providing there. And she's starting to also become more involved in planning our first mission trip, our conference. And recently, she, at the church, Michael, one of our first deaf missionaries that we had sent to Africa, he's been helping plan an event, and they all collaborated together, and she wants to help become an example of how to make the gospel accessible for everyone, especially in sign language. So now we're going to talk about Gallaudet real quick. This is Gallaudet University. Here's a picture of it. It's in Washington, D.C., or near the Capitol. It's about maybe a mile and a half. So itself, Gallaudet, it's the only deaf university in the U.S. and really all over the world, actually. So here's, we talk about missions. This is Danny and Jonathan in Washington, D.C., and they were the first 2 students that really wanted to help me set up this and figure out how to make the gospel accessible and do alliance with other individuals. And really, this all started because of them. Before this, we had nothing. And they had faith as well. They had faith in God that he was going to be able to use us to provide access to the gospel. And then after that, the fall of 2016, about 4 or 5 other students started to notice, and they started to come and collaborate. And for about 3 or 4 months, we, just us, continued to meet. And long story short, now, most recently, a picture, we have an average about 30 to 40 students who come regularly every week on Thursday night for worship. People at Gallaudet want community, but they have no group for Jesus there. So many of the hearing and deaf there, they want to come together and connect. Our voice interpreters, 2 of them, are involved in ministry at Gallaudet as well, and how they help contact and do connections. And now they're involved with us in providing access to the gospel through ASL and for the deaf population. Do you see how God's working there? And it's a fun group. It's really an awesome blessing to work with young people and encourage them. It really is it's an inspiration for me and for them that I can impact the world through impacting them, and they can impact other peers all over the world to know Jesus and tell them to come to us, have an awesome time. It's an opportunity to know Jesus and have community. And that's why I met Gallaudet. It's a wonderful opportunity to send missions all around the world just from this location alone. game night, that we have a hangout. It's fun. It's an opportunity to connect with other students because there's not a lot of Christians there. A lot of people kind of revolt against it. They see it and they're like, eh. But with the game night, it creates a less formal situation for us to have an open conversation and for people to have an open mind and open heart to see Jesus in a non-threatening way. And since we've started this, about 9 people have accepted Jesus from campus alone. And that's amazing. And this just started recently last year. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. So worship, we all sit around, about 30 to 40 people, each week, like I said, on Thursdays. We have ASL worship, and then we teach on Thursday nights as well after the worship, and we pray in small groups and talk together. We also pray together when we send out a missionary. We just recently sent some to Brazil, a YWAM group we sent there, so we prayed blessings over them. We put our hands and we pray before they leave. Okay, all together. It's really just a small picture of what the bigger picture should be in church planning. And it's not easy. It's hard work. But I know and believe that you all can be a part of it. You all can do it as well. You all can impact so many people around the world. Really, it starts with your neighbor. Doing outreach, contacting, welcoming them home, saying hi, sharing about Jesus. It's scary, maybe, but you can do it. So we went on a mission trip to Taiwan recently last summer, our first big mission trip. It was incredible. It was the dream team. People from all over the world showed up and came to Taiwan. And we only had one deaf church in Taiwan in that location in Taipei. And it's a small island. And there's only one deaf church there. And there's a ton of deaf people. And they saw it and they thought, wow, we really want this connection. And you're communicating with us in our own language. They were so hungry and motivated to learn more about God's heart and his heart for his people. So we partnered with Aroma Church. It's a coffee house local missionary. Envision. It's through Envision, the Envision team. So there were a lot of Taiwanese people who didn't know about Jesus that came to the groups that we had each night in this local coffee shop. And a lot of people were like, you're from America? You're the first Americans we've met who are willing to learn our language and do that. Because we wanted to share Jesus with them and tell them so much about how God loves them. So we were mixing all together. We had people from Gallaudet, and we had people bringing hope to those who felt hopeless. And we hope to go back again next summer to meet the same people all over again, the deaf individuals in Taiwan, and continue to spread the gospel in Taiwanese sign language. So I have a story about a man from Taiwan who had never even known about Jesus, never even heard about his name in his life, until he showed up to one of our events at the coffee house. I went, and he said, I heard you're from America, and I heard about this man named Jesus. Who is that? The Bible, what is that? So when we were there, he had seen a Chinese Bible, but he had never really read it. And then he finally realized, that's in my language. So he invited us to his home for hot pot soup, which was delicious, by the way. So if you don't know what that is, it is delicious. You need to try it. So that picture is me explaining all of the gospel in Jesus in Taiwanese sign language through sign. It's not my native language, but I was able to do the best that I could to explain. And that man right there, that's him to the left. And his group of friends were there with him. They didn't understand, but the man would understand what Bruce was saying enough, and then he would translate it into full context Taiwanese sign language back to his friends and vice versa. And we go back and forth from ASL to Taiwanese sign language. First time 6 people heard about Jesus through that. And understand, in Asian culture, many of you maybe know, welcoming someone, especially a foreigner, into your home is a huge honor. Welcoming and providing food, hot pot, and things of that nature is huge with hospitality. It's an honor. This is a picture of our group, And there's the man. About six people heard about Jesus for the first time that night. So this is the only deaf church there in Taipei, Taiwan. It's a Presbyterian church. It's the only church there. And that's it. And there's a lot more people who don't know about Jesus, who want to know about Jesus. They're in need to. And my heart was always thinking, pray for the people there. So why do we do all of this? Why do we do church planting? Why with deaf people? And why do we want to go back and start from the beginning? If we think about the numbers that we talked about. Back one. Only 2% of people know about Jesus. Only 2% of this population. And that breaks my heart. I've prayed so many times for people to open their hearts and be willing to hear and receive Jesus. Same with Muslim and Hindus. It's the same generally around the world. Same with deaf people. And that's why they're called the unreached group, because it's such a small percentage who know Jesus. And we are the heart of the biggest community of deaf in the world here in America. And it's a great opportunity to challenge that. So again, church planting is...
Church planting is God's primary plan to fulfill the Great Commission. And that's what I believe, that's what the Alliance believes, that's why we're passionate about church planting. So now you might be thinking, okay, so what? What now? Well, I'm happy you're asking that. How can we apply this to our lives? What do we do? So now you can pray. And how can you pray? Let's talk about that. So I'm going to give you a bit of a... I have a snapshot on my phone, but we have three different things we want to be praying about. The first is the new ASL congregation we are setting up in Washington, D.C. Right now, there is no place for deaf to worship on Sunday mornings, and we believe that God is calling us to plant a new church, a sister church off of the Table Church, a D.C. location so that the deaf can have a place to meet on Sundays. We are also praying about leadership development. So I left my church today, and we are praying if I take over in the D.C. area, we need someone to replace me, somebody to step in. So we have only a handful of leaders right now, and we are praying that God would continue to raise up people to take leadership within the Table Church so that we can impact the deaf community. Our third is financial self-sufficiency. I mean, paying for things is hard. Church planting is hard. So when we started the church plant, we were fundraising full-time. And then we had to cut some things in half. And thanks to God, thanks to what God is doing, he provided for us as we lost some of our fundraising. The fundraising was cut in half because with CNMA, they have churches all over. So they were trying to fund the other churches, and they have to balance how much they're giving to each church because there are so many people who are setting up church plants, which is great. So I'm not trying to guilt you or anything like that. We know that God is going to provide for us. But I also want to challenge you that if you feel you are called to give to the church plant in Maryland, that is awesome. Try to give more. We want to give more. We want to give more people opportunity to know Jesus. So we are starting, you know, if we can increase a little bit every year, we don't want to, not just for us, but for Europeans, for everybody, we want to have that access. So those are some ways we can be praying. So talking more generally as we wrap up here, how can you partner with God in the global mission with reaching the deaf? First is to pray for the deaf people themselves. I strongly believe that prayer impacts things. Prayer will change our world. It is the best the number one thing that we can do in order to serve people. If we are not praying, people are not going to be able to change. The more we pray, the more power we have and the more power we're able to send out into this world. We want to connect deaf people with Jesus. We have deaf churches. We have ministries in D.C. If you know a deaf person, if you have anyone in your life, please tell them. We have deaf church. We have, you know, connect them to Pastor Steve and he can connect, or Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Steve, and they can connect them to me. We have another picture here. You can take a picture of this screen right here and keep that on your phone so that when you meet somebody, you never know when it's going to come up. You never know when you'll come in contact with a deaf person. And you can say to them, hey, I can send you this picture with a person you can contact about Deaf Church. You don't even need to sign with this person. You can just show them my information, and that way they can contact us. Maybe they're looking for a church. You never know. Maybe I want to encourage you all at your church. Maybe you can host a deaf church. Maybe you can have a place, if there's an office, if there's a room where you can take on a deaf church, you know, with a church plant, maybe you can support them, give them an opportunity of where to meet. With New Design Church, they blessed us so much with meeting places. And you can do the exact same thing. If you have some resource to be able to give to a church plant, that would be a great help. And lastly here is fulfilling that great commission. With church planting in Maryland, whatever amount that you are able to give to this fund would be an incredible help, and that's great, whatever you are able to. We know that God is going to provide, and he's doing that through you. That's what I believe. I want to encourage you about deaf people, but also about other people groups who maybe do not have full access to the gospel, who cannot understand the gospel because it's not in their language. That is why we want to support church planting. I want to go back to this verse here, the verse that started my calling. Again, church planting is hard. This is not an easy task. It is a challenge, but it is an incredible reward. I cannot even imagine myself doing anything else right now. I cannot imagine a life where I'm not sharing the gospel with the deaf and hard of hearing communities. Remember, in that day, it hasn't come yet, but it's coming. In that day, that is my song. That's what I'm believing. That the deaf, the hearts, the people who are closed to God's word, the blind, meaning those who are closed-minded to the word of God, they will see. They will understand. Could you pray with me, please? Father,